Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the illustrious Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, which happens every Saturday night on the internet, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. If you like us, you should go up there somewhere and click that little like button or give us a star rating or something. It helps us be found by other like-minded folks. My name's Colin. I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars, including
Jenny,
Brent.
Making another guest appearance is me, the N-I-C-K.
Welcome back. This week, Jenny picked the movie. What did we watch tonight?
Return to Oz.
What year was it made?
1985.
And who directed it?
Oh, shit. I forgot already.
So this is where we need the box for, like, the quick reference box.
Walter Murch.
Oh, crap. I was going to look up and see if that was this guy who's a sound editor. That can't be. That's like a Ben Murch? No, Walter Murch. I'm going to look it up while you talk amongst yourselves. Tell us what Return to Oz is about.
Well, it's about Dorothy comes back from Oz. Obviously, it's a sequel to the classic Wizard of Oz, but it is twisted and dark and very different from the original film.
Very different.
To say the least.
Yes.
Oh, shit. It is the Walter Murch that I thought. Walter Murch is like an Oscar-winning sound editor. He worked on, like, Apocalypse Now. I want to say that he worked on Star Wars, the Godfather movies. But here, let's see. Is this the only... No, he directed two movies. Return to Oz and an episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars TV show. Wow. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. Boom. Had no idea.
Yeah. And also an editor. Wow. There you go. Return to Oz. So this is like, it's a kids movie that came out of the 80s when Hollywood was doing, this is still, like, I keep seeing this as, like, the post-Star Wars era, where it's like, now we've got all of this technology, we can do all this puppeteering, animatronics, visual effects, and those kind of lead over the story a lot of times. They're just going to go, like, we've got a concept, and we're going to do, like, you know, they got Labyrinth, The Dark Crystal. These were Jim Henson movies.
Willow.
And it definitely had that feel of it, too.
Yeah, even though Return to Oz is not a Jim Henson film.
No.
Although we did discover
Brian Henson.
Who currently runs, I think, the Henson Company.
Studios, yep.
He did some puppeteering on one of the characters. So it's like, it's really interesting to watch it because it's for kids, but this is like one of the most nightmarish yes, children's movies maybe ever made. I don't know.
Even for it to ever be a Disney movie, you know.
Brent's going to have nightmares tonight. About
the Wheelers.
Absolutely. The Wheelers are the scariest thing, like, I've seen in a long time.
Now, I got a question then, because you've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
You saw it when you were a kid.
Yes.
So are you just kind of remembering, reliving the terror of your youth?
I mean, I think that in my youth, they were terrifying. It's mainly the opening scene, because this movie does a really good job of like stripping them of all their power, of all their scariness by the end of the film. By the end of the film, they're, you know, part of the group and kind of at the celebration they're cheering, but we'll get to that. But like the idea that they show up in this, you know, rundown Emerald City, and one of the first things you see in this wide shot is beware of the Wheelers on the side of a wall. And it's just like, it's like graffitied, it's red, it's just, it seems violent. And then they show up, And the first one you see has this mask on. Like, a lot of them, they don't have masks unless their head is down, and then they have, like, a face in their helmet.
Yeah.
But this first one has this really freaky mask, and there's something about it.
Yeah, and it's just about the movement of the head. When he comes around, he's, like, all twisting.
Yeah, and they giggle like hyenas, and they, you know, they're on all these four wheels, and they squeak, and they're just... Like, there's scenes in it where they charge the camera, because like when Dorothy and her friends are trying to escape the castle, like there's all these shots where like the Wheelers are just charging at the camera, so all you see are these like lunatics like riding at the camera, and that. And then even like the overhead shot terrifies me too, as they're kind of winding through the streets. And you know, it's just like, I feel like they're like serial killers on wheels. And they're out there, and this poor girl, you know,
they have the maniacal laughs and
yeah, everything about it. Thank God for TikTok.
Yeah,
I mean, that motherfucker can fight.
Well, the Wheelers kind of take the place of the flying monkeys, maybe. In
equally as terrifying.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're the minions of the lead female antagonist. I mean, like, well, Jenny, this is your movie, so I mean, I don't know how much you know about this, but like, you know, we were talking outside that this is like the longest gap between movie and sequel. I think 46 years between 1938 and this one. It's like, who had the idea that like we have to do a sequel to The Wizard of Oz?
Well, I'm not certain on this, but I'm sure they've been trying to do a sequel, but MGM, because it was such a classic, they were holding on to the rights with dear life. Well, like, they did not
want. Plus, I don't think anyone would really want to try to tackle...
That's true.
You know, topping that classic, you know.
Yeah. So,
but, like, there's books that are sequels,
yeah,
right?
This one's based on two of the books.
The second and third book.
Yeah, it's The Land of Oz and then Ozma of Oz. Yeah.
Yeah. Frank L. Baum, or L. Frank Baum, right?
Yeah.
Because he wrote, I want to say there's five, but don't quote
I was going to say four, but... Five could be right.
Yeah, it could be four or five, something like that, books. And he wrote them, I'm not even sure when. I mean, the movie came out in 38. I don't know if they were new then or if they'd been written, you know, prior to that. But I want to say that, like, I mean, I remember the character of Jack Pumpkinhead in the books. Like, I think maybe he was in the first one, even, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. I don't know if it was like Cowardly Lion, Tin Man, and Scarecrow. I mean, I could be way off, but I specifically remember that character either in the books or in one of the really early movies, and he shows up in this movie.
I've honestly never read the books, so I don't know.
Well, it's okay. We won't hold it against you.
I've never read a book.
But everybody's seen movie.
I can't even read an instruction manual without falling asleep.
I remember a part in Girl Interrupted, though, where one of the characters is reading The Wizard of Oz, and she's like, have you ever read this? And Winona Ryder's like, no, but I've seen the movie a bunch of times. She's like, well, the movie's not actually based on this book, and she's reading the first book. It's actually more based on the second book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because from what I've heard is that it's written pretty dark to begin with, right? It's not, you know, all singing and somewhere over the rainbow.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be more of a dark.
A fairy tale.
Yeah. Like a grim fairy tale.
Well, you were mentioning it kind of the idea has some connections to like Alice in Wonderland, you know, Lewis Carroll, you know, the idea of a girl having kind of this like very extremely vivid fantasy life. Only Return to Oz takes, you know, I mean, in The Wizard of Oz, you know, obviously Dorothy gets, I mean, I've always read it. I don't know, always, right? Now, as an adult, you watch it. Dorothy gets bumped on the head and then she kind of, you know, during this tornado and kind of internalizes all of these people that she knows and has this fantasy world. So the sequel picks up, what is it, 6 months later, something like that, after the tornado.
Yeah, because they're fixing the house from the tornado. Well, building a brand new house, because I guess the house is gone.
Yeah, well, they say that she hasn't slept in 6 months. I don't know if they say since the tornado. I think they say since the tornado.
Yeah. It's been 6 months since the tornado.
And I get the impression that she just keeps talking about this fantasy land that she visited. What happened to the farmhands?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Zeke and the other two guys.
Wasn't in the budget.
They all got old and died. It's been 46
their
years.
Their barn's half there, and they have just a chicken. Yeah. Well, like, there's really no need for farmhands.
Well, they got to rebuild the house, I guess, but whatever. Yeah. I mean, they don't have money.
Yeah, because the uncle was the only one that was building the house. So
yeah. And Piper Laurie plays the Aunt Em this time around, and Fairuza Balk.
Yep.
It's her first movie?
Yes, her first movie.
Crazy Girl from The Craft?
Yep.
Yep.
Crazy Goth Girl.
Yeah. And The Waterboy.
Waterboy.
That face hasn't
American
changed.
History
X. No. No.
Like, you can see face.
Crazy on
Does
that face.
Does she have blue eyes, though, like in movies when she's older? Like, I feel
green.
Like.
Yeah, they look green. Like,
yeah.
Green contacts or something. Because they're more blue in this one.
Yeah.
I noticed. And I'm like, oh, her eyes look too. Happy, like compared to how
before
she is now,
went
like
crazy.
Yeah,
I just remember that scene from the end of The Craft, where you know she has supposedly her character's gone crazy, and they tie her to a bed, and she's just like flipping out, like in a way that's like, we're gonna turn the camera on you, Fairuza. You just give us your best crazy, and it's convincing.
Yeah,
like I worry about you.
Well, filming this movie. Being as young as she was, I had to mess her up just a little bit.
How old do you think she was?
Yeah.
I would probably say nine, 10.
Okay. So this is substantially younger Dorothy Gale than the Judy Garland version.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Judy Garland was like, what, 25 playing 16 or something like that? I don't know what that
is. I think she's supposed to be 16.
And I had watched this movie last night with my kids because I told them I was going to do this. And they're like, oh, you know, let's watch it because they're big fans of Wizard of Oz. And never knew that Disney, you know, their favorite company to watch movies, did a Wizard of Oz movie. So we watched it and they were like, why is she so young compared to the other Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
And they just tore it apart the whole time we were watching it.
Well, I guess that's the obstacle that you have to overcome going into a sequel to like one of the most beloved and famous movies of all time.
That is decades later.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's why it's like, it's kind of one of those ideas that like, you know, who said yes to this? I guess you're sitting there going like, well, you know, the Wizard of, like everybody knows it. So, you know, we make a sequel, like, that means you have a potential, you know, audience of everyone in the world, it seems like. And then, you know, we've got the technology now to do new and crazy things with, you know, the visual effects and the visual style of the movie.
Well, Nick, you had said earlier that they had to buy the rights for the ruby slippers.
Yeah, they said that they had to buy the rights for the ruby red slippers because MGM designed the ruby red slippers because in the original story they were silver slippers.
That's what I just occurred to me. So that's why I was just thinking of that.
Yeah. So I don't know how much money they had to pay out or what, but yeah, that was a big tie up because they wanted to keep it with the ruby red slippers because if they were to throw silver slippers in this one, people would be lost more than they probably already were.
Mm.
Yeah, no, that just occurred to me that they were silver in the books. I do remember hearing about that. So,
And I never knew they were silver until a few years ago. Todd McFarlane created his own toy line of his thought on the Twisted Land of Oz. And I always, you know, was wondering why the Dorothy figure had silver shoes on more than red, you know, red shoes. And then I read up on it and, you know, he tried to keep more towards what the original writings were.
By putting her in S&M gear.
By putting her in S&M gear.
Just like the original novels. Well, I mean, I know that there have been like, you know, prior Wizard of Oz movies made. I think there were even movies made prior to the MGM Judy Garland movie. It was two lower budget ones, you know, with like, I don't know if they're puppet guys and stuff like that. And I remember when I was a kid, there was a animated thing that came out of like the late 70s or something like that. I want to say again, this like pumpkin headed guy is like in all of those. So this is, I think, maybe the first. No, I'm just saying it's not the first like actual live action interpretation of this, but well, we should probably get to that. But what were we going to say?
Was The Wiz out before this or after this?
Yeah, but The Wiz is a retelling of the original Wizard of Oz story, done with Motown folks, Michael Jackson,
Ross.
That was the '70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think honestly, that was a musical.
Yeah, it was. Also. Oh, for sure.
But this one takes okay. So Dorothy then has like a. Everybody treats her as if she's got like a mental problem. So they take her to what amounts to an insane asylum. I mean, you know, it's a doctor's office, but they, you know, they open the doors and it's got the goddamn insane asylum hallway, and she's locked in a room, and they're going to try and use a electroshock therapy or something to eradicate the wizard, you know, the dreams of Oz. This is like heavy shit, off the bat.
It is. But I mean, the reason they do it is because electricity is just an upcoming thing, because it takes place, as we discussed during the movie,
2 years before 1900.
Yeah, just right before 1900, when electricity was just becoming big. And, you know, the article, I mean, they only show it briefly, but it's like super sugar-coated.
Yeah.
It's like having trouble sleeping.
But isn't that like...
We'll fix it with electricity.
Even if it's sugar-coated.
State of the art.
I guess this is like where, you know, I got to split at some point with this movie. It's like, you know, there's the me watching it, and then the me thinking of, like, if this is a kid's movie, like, a kid, I think, like, must somehow realize what they're talking about. Like, they're talking about zapping your head with electricity and erasing your memories. I mean, like, well, the kid audience has to be like, that's what?
I had to explain that to my kids last night, what they were doing. And then I went to farther back. I go, well, you know, this is... you know, breakthrough, because they used to drill a hole in their head.
Oh my God, what did you do to your kids?
And they just kind of looked at me like, oh, yeah. Okay.
They used to dunk people in ice water and all this other crazy shit.
I mean, I remember when I watched this as a kid, that did not occur to me. Like, I didn't know what electric shock therapy was, so.
Okay, all right. So that wasn't a source of,
no.
Like, yeah, she's just at the doctor.
Well, they give her headphones. Like, it doesn't look like it's going to be painful, yeah. You know?
And they roll out that machine that looks like a robot, you know, so you're... As a kid, you're kind of adult. I'm kind of fascinated by that. Yeah. Yeah, the idea that, you know, look at the tongue. It's got a face. It's fun.
It's weird. I didn't see the face until he pointed it out. Like when it came out, and then he's like, "Look, it has a face on it." The machine.
I mean, like they had the wide shot, but when they go to the close up, they pan down to the mouth,
right?
Tilt down, so you don't see it right away.
Because the machine is actually TikTok. That she replaces,
right?
Yeah, when she goes
in her mind, because the same, a similar thing happens. I guess she meets, you know, there's the doctor and the cruelest head nurse this side of probably Nurse Ratched. So it's Nicole Williamson from Excalibur. You young folks will remember him from Spawn. I think he was Caligaster in Spawn. And Jean Marsh, who was in
Willow,
as the evil
Mab. Queen. Mab, what was her name? Shit,
in Willow.
In Willow?
No, it wasn't Mad Mardigan.
I know it's not Mad Mardigan. Fuck.
Leora Dannon. No, that was the kid. Whatever. She was the evil.
Mad Morta or something like that. Yeah. Morta.
Mad Morta.
So she was like
something, you
know,
like
go back and listen. She was the Willow one
that changed from the rat, right?
No,
she was the evil queen.
She had the headdress, like.
Okay.
Yeah, wanted to kill
the baby. She was all about the baby. She just wanted to kill the baby. Just
an evil woman.
Yeah.
Just terribly evil.
Oh, there's the... Like. So wait, Willow was 88. The tie-in is that Gary Kurtz produced this. Gary Kurtz produced Star Wars, has an in with George Lucas, who's thanked in the credits of this. And George Lucas produced Willow and possibly... Let's see if Gary Kurtz had some. So she's like, you know, just kind of moving along with the company. It's like, here we go. This is what we're doing.
Well, yeah. She's got that character in. Locked.
Yeah.
She's pretty evil. I mean, like, as the head nurse, she's just like, you know, one of these completely cruel and uncompassionate, you know.
And she's like, all in black.
Yeah.
She is in black.
And like, she has that look on her face like she's going to enjoy watching the little girl get fried. But you know, she just has that look.
You know what? I have to say, watching it this time, when they get to the river or the creek, you can watch that scene and take it as she's doing everything she can to save them.
That's what I thought.
Because she's just like, no, stop. You know, she even like jumps into the river to try and save them.
But I think the Dorothy is reading it as she's trying to get her back.
Well,
she's,
that's how I read it when I was a kid. So, but I could see that now as an adult. But as a kid, like, that's what it looks like. Because, you know, you hear the people screaming in the basement. And then, you know, it comes out that there's damaged patients that are locked in the cellar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damaged, so, presumably by the electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
that's what I always took as she's chasing her to get her back in there.
Get her in there.
Well, this moment in the movie, I think my biggest problem with it, because I mean, I do think the movie, you know, like works overall as this like phantasmagoria of nightmarish, you know, like it's a horror movie for kids. But like, as the story goes, in the asylum, she meets this girl in her mirror, a blonde girl who's like a year or so older than her. And so she's trapped in a room, strapped to a bed. This is Dorothy. And this girl frees her from her the straps and leads her out into the storm, where they both get carried away by the river and to Oz. Okay, so this is like the Jack Nicholson in The Shining moment. In The Shining, there's only actually one supernatural thing that happens that you can't explain as some kind of psychological problem, or something that people are, a vision that people are seeing, is when he's in the refrigerator and the ghosts let him out. Mm-hmm. Because that's one, it's a physical thing that he was locked in the thing and ghosts let him out. Right.
Yeah.
So originally I was thinking, because they strapped Dorothy down, they put the prods or whatever on either side of her head, and then that the power goes out because of the storm. Right. So I'm like, okay, they're right there. She was zapped, and everything from this moment on is fantasy. But that's not the case based on the end of the movie, mm-hmm. because like when she returns to Earth or whatever, Kansas, she returns on the creek bed. So she actually did make it out of the building and down the river. So it's like, okay, so how did she get out of the...
Or did she get zapped and when they were exiting everybody out of the place because it was on fire, they said. Maybe she ended up...
Oh, yeah, they said they saved everybody from the building.
And she just doesn't remember leaving or anything because she was zapped.
I don't think she got zapped because, you know, he tested it and he's playing with that main switch before he puts it on her head. And then as he reaches for the main switch, like she's got the headphone things on her ears and he doesn't pull it down. The power just goes out.
Yeah, but that could be like if you were zapped, you know, and like the rest of this thing was something that was made up in your mind. Because I mean, obviously, she didn't. Well, it depends on what we're saying. Realistic, real or not, she went to Oz. I mean, I guess the evidence is there that she does, right? Because she finds a key early on at the farm that is apparently brought to her by a shooting star. She finds a key to Oz, and that's how she knows my friends are in trouble in Oz. I have to get back there.
Yeah. Well, if you're taking this in like the original Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy, you know, she hit her head, she got knocked out, and then she has this very detailed epic dream.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could easily happen in this one because she goes to the river. She almost drowned. She's got to be exhausted. But she gets out of the straps. Well, no,
without somebody helping her, that's where the supernatural
comes in. Okay.
So otherwise you could read it that way, but that's what I'm saying. This is where it's like, okay, so that means that this Ozma character, the other girl, actually does physically appear in the real world.
Well, she could have been a patient. Like,
she shows up in a mirror.
No, she
vanishes through a door.
No. Well,
I thought she was looking through a window.
She was looking through a window the first time you see her.
Reflection in the glass of the...
And then, I mean, you don't see her enter and exit Dorothy's room, but she could still be a patient. I mean, that's up to interpretation, Colin.
But at the end, when she sees her in the reflection of her mirror in her bedroom, is that... I mean, it's not physical evidence. It could be just a vision. right. and Dorothy's mm-hmm. whacked out. But yeah. at the same time, it's like...
That's or it could be proof that Oz is real.
I know. That at that moment, that's when I take it as Oz is real because she's, you know, talking to her in the mirror
yeah.
like she did in Oz. She rescued her from the mirror.
You know, well, I think the movie through. Is definitely trying to lead you to that. I mean, that's the conclusion of the movie, right?
Yeah.
That Oz is a real place. Only Dorothy knows about it. And, you know, so yeah. this isn't all just in her head. She's not just a, you know, not really a mental patient.
Yeah.
That's something that would be explored in American McGee's Alice, the video game. Just check that out.
Pretty, really good game.
Well, I mean, Ozma did say she'd look in on Dorothy from time to time.
That's true.
So yeah. Dorothy could just be... Just tripping out again.
Yeah.
Want to see Ozma.
Yeah.
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 If there weren't those other clues, see, I guess it would be like, it would be more interesting just to me if it was, you know, if they had left that more, you know, like you could read it either way. But I think mm-hmm. it pretty concrete. I mean, the fact that there's that key.
Well, if it was you know, the
ant.
Says it, like, this
well,
is
it could have been, I mean,
top.
the ant says yeah. it's.
From the Inception spinning.
Yeah. yeah.
The ant says it's the key to the old house.
Yeah.
But because it just has that symbol on yeah. top
okay.
that looks like Oz, Dorothy's like, oh, it's Oz.
Yeah, it's Oz.
All right, so then we've just got her getting unstrapped from the...
And I'm telling you, maybe it's because she did get zapped, and they had a fire in the building, and she doesn't remember exiting the building
that
and just wakes
out.
Up.
That checks out.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. All right, let's go with that. Well, maybe. I don't know. That'll help my interpretation.
But then,
I don't know what you guys
but here, the fine. Thing is, though, like the fact that she sees... Ozma in the mirror at the end means she's crazy, right?
Yeah. Like,
because she's
said,
daydreaming.
Or,
she's just she's a very yeah. very deep dreamer.
And she's told
she's
not
dream
to
weaver.
Tell.
But
so
the filmmakers are you know, fucking. With
no
us.
One else ever sees anything with Oz but her.
I like, always interpret yeah. it that the girl was a patient because she doesn't have shoes on. She's just wandering around the building. And I just always took it as she was just a patient.
Yeah, and like all the other characters from the reality end up in Oz and her dream. Yeah.
Right.
So
and her dream.
I mean, it's also, you know, what lends to the, you know, not it's not schizophrenia, but the whatever, like the vivid interior life of this one girl. She's the only one who can ever go to Oz or ever sees Oz. When she's in Oz, she's the savior of Oz. Everybody mm-hmm. knows who she is. Yep. It's like... I mean, at the end, it's they want her to be the Queen of Oz. You know, I mean,
it's
like,
her escape
it's,
from reality.
She's making the world in her mind.
Yeah, know? She knows exactly what the deadly desert is, even though she had never gone there in the first place. You know,
right.
the first one, she flew over it. So she says in the house, but I believe she was knocked out in the house.
Right. Lands, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that was probably something that was extracted from the book. That maybe that was
yeah,
explained right. to her that. Wasn't touched in the original film with
yeah.
Judy Garland. Like,
and what I like about this one is probably the same thing that Tom would like about this one. Like, I want to explore this world of Oz, you know, I mean, and you get to see more of it in this movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's very interesting because the first one was, for lack of a better word, a musical stage, a stage performance, right? I mean, it's all mm-hmm. on a set. So you get the idea that there's this big world out there, but you never really get to see it. And the first thing you see here is like this whole, I know it's matte painting still, but I mean, you get the feeling, you get the sense of like the scope of this world. You get to go and see the deadly forest or the deadly desert. You get to go.
Where anyone who touches it turns to sand.
Living.
Yeah.
Anyone living that anyone touches living. It. Because that would, because you know, remember when she's in the deadly desert, she's in that
crib,
mm. and that's why she doesn't turn to sand because that's not living.
So right. TikTok.
So TikTok wouldn't.
TikTok can do
he's
anything
not alive.
But live. Anything but live. Poor bastard.
TikTok's not even alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we got to get to her new companion. Well, okay. So wait, before yeah. we do that, so the setup is that Oz is now like a ruined place. It's not
yes.
like what she remembers at the Emerald City's.
It's
destroyed.
Complete desolation.
Have turned to stone in the Emerald City. The Wheelers, these
headless.
Creatures.
They're headless.
There are some headless stone people. The Cowardly Lion terrifying. She finds, and the Tin Man, they're both petrified.
The Scarecrow is nowhere
scarecrow.
To be found.
Horrible looking.
Yeah.
horrible looking Tin Man and the Lion.
It is.
Are those are yeah, but it's, those are closer to the illustrations. I think
it's
like the
true.
Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion look like the pictures I remember from the L. Frank Baum books.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe what they were going for. But
well, I'm just saying, you know, one of the hangouts for my kids again was that they look shitty.
Yeah. Oh, I felt the same way when I watched it.
Because my kids go, why can't they just be regular people in, you know, in the costumes? Why are they going to be, you know, Muppets?
Because it's the 80s, damn it.
Yeah, now we had this new technology. Yes, we can.
Now we can actually make these drawings come to life.
Or did you explain to them copyright issues?
Yeah, right. We got to go that completely new designs.
We can't do
so
this.
You explained to them lobotomy, but you didn't want to explain copyright issues? Yeah.
What kind of shit? Right? All right, so who are Dorothy's new companions? Since the other guys are frozen. Everybody, and Glenda, the good witch, is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, she's nowhere.
She's gone. I mean, the fact that they got Toto for the book ending of this movie, the front and the back of it, is amazing.
But she has similar companions that, like, relate to the ones she had in the original film.
Yeah.
Like who?
Like, instead of Toto, she's got Belinda, her chicken.
The chicken.
Jack is totally the scarecrow.
Jack is totally the scarecrow, who is, like, this, I don't know, like, he's made of sticks, but he's got a big jack-o'-lantern head. And then you got TikTok, who is made of copper, wouldn't you say?
Like a clockwork man.
Yeah. Wait, Tin Man.
He's like the Tin Man.
Question about TikTok really quick. When they first introduced him, I remember she was reading something on his back. She had to wind him up. And it said something to the effect of, like, once you wind him up, this is guaranteed to last for 1,000 years. And for the entire duration of the movie,
she had to keep winding him up.
Yeah, he keeps on winding down.
No, his lifespan is for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
But you still have to
wind him up. But you still have to wind him up. It's so manual.
And when I say lifespan, I use that term loosely because he's not living.
It just says guaranteed to work perfectly for 1,000 years. Oh, that's what it says.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So TikTok.
So TikTok's equivalent to the Tin Man. And then you got the Gump.
The Gump.
Oz couch.
Who is the Cowardly Lion?
Yeah. Oz's D student.
For sure.
By far the slowest character.
And then you have Mombi as the Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
It's equivalent to the Wicked Witch. And then she's got the Wheelers as her flying monkeys. And then the Gnome King, I guess, would be equivalent to Oz before.
And he's the doctor from her.
And he even has the fire like Oz has, you know, like Oz has the two like fire stacks, fire, whatever next to him. And then what's his name? The Stone King. What is it?
Gnome King.
Gnome King. Thank you. He has like this tunnel or like cave of fire.
Mm-hmm. He has a furnace.
It's his fiery furnace, which is like, that's the pathway to hell, right? I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Oz is purgatory, that's the way you go to that's the path you take to hell because it's terrifying.
But that's a whole nother thing of where she gets these people and these creatures from reality to her fantasy land. Like that's a whole nother thing.
Well, it still implies that it's a psychological, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, Belinda obviously is the chicken from her farm, and then the gnome
can talk because it's not.
Yeah. The Gnome King is the doctor. The nurse is Crazy Mombi.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the electroshock machine is TikTok. And then
she received the pumpkin.
Yep, the pumpkin. Yep, she got the jack-o'-lantern. So that's Jack.
That's why Jack calls Ozma mom.
Because Ozma gave it to
him. That's just creepy. Yeah. Like, this whole thing just gives off this creepy vibe. Like, the whole The fact that you got this pumpkin creature that talks like, I mean, not entirely childlike, but, you know, going around calling this little 9-year-old girl mom was just kind of like weird.
Can I call you mom, even if it isn't so?
Even if it isn't so, can I just call you mom? Mom, we got to go do. Yeah. The animatronic, the Gump, it's like a mounted moose head that they put on the front of a couch and then strap like palm branches to it in order to, and then sprinkle it with the life
fairy dust
or whatever to bring it to life. And it's just like the way that its eyes move. I mean, it's totally 80s era, you know,
'80s puppet type.
Or animatronic technology. But it's just kind of like these things are physically there. They're not CGI'd in there or, you know, animated. They're like actual puppeteered things. But they're just that somehow makes them like if they were like CG animated. Somehow the fluidity of them would make them more, not docile. What am I going here? It would take the edge off of them. But I actually have them actually there in the scene with her. And the way they move, it's just kind of like, it's just a little, you know, odd and creepy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, you know, that's kind of what makes it interesting as an adult watching it now. It's like, this is just, you know, like some kind of demented, you know, like masterpiece. Of,
like the fact that the child actor in that scene has to act with that stuff going on, or?
I think it's just the movement of them. Was the thing that like really kind of was just, you know, just especially the moose, the talking moose. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, and then you've got what's her name? The equivalent of the witch.
Mombi,
who's this woman who?
Oh yeah, we haven't even touched this.
She's got a hallway of severed heads that are conscious, and their eyes follow her around. There's 30 severed heads in this hallway in glass cases, and she puts on whatever head that she wants. I mean, this is like, you know, what the hell? I mean, it's a pretty intense scene. I think even now watching it, it's like, and this is for kids again. I think it played well to me as like, this is totally a fucking horror movie. This whole thing.
She was like Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. Just interchangeable heads. I'm going to take this off. Second 1985 movie. It did the severed head effect.
Yeah.
This one do it better than the Reanimator? Bigger budget type.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, well, this one has the big CG moment or CG.
It does.
The optical moment where it's like, her head is moving and the body is moving. And they're both.
Whereas Reanimator, you can see that his head is sticking out the side of the jacket or whatever. Yeah.
No, and it's either a dummy torso or a dummy head, but never both live at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one definitely has it. But I mean, they're using the same tricks. I mean, it's just a bunch of actresses sticking their head through a wall and looking around very creepily.
Well, yeah, like Brent's all about the Wheelers that terrifies him. The scene where Dorothy's trying to get her original, well, get in the cabinet of her original head, cabinet 31, because she's got all these beautiful other, like, 30 heads that she stole from other women.
Which is Colin figured out. Remembered that she went into room 31 when she was at the insane asylum.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was just the dialogue. It was like, her original head, her head is in box 31 or 31.
I never picked up on that.
Her head, and get it, is in room 31. Room 31.
Yeah.
No, I never picked up on that. Yeah. Good job, Colin. But, you know, she goes to get the powder of life to make the Gump come to life. And then that scene where she wakes up the original head and Jean Marsh is just sitting there beheaded and she's just, Dorothy, it's just, it wakes them all up and they're all screaming. And then this headless body just comes after her, just making these awful noises.
All the heads scream at some point. It seems to me that they did.
Well,
they're all screaming, Dorothy.
They all kind of turn and freak out when
the body comes.
Yeah. Like, that, is it because they want to be chosen or something?
I don't think so. I don't think any of them want to be chosen.
I think
they were just being like the alarm system.
I call bullshit on the end, though, when they, like, all the stone figures, like they have the headless stone figures in Oz, when they come back to life, you would think those heads would still be off because you know she went around and decapitated those ladies.
Well, she said, I wish all of us from Oz would return there safely and the Emerald City would be restored to life.
Safely.
So. But the Gump didn't get his body back. That's what I don't get. Why, you know, everything was supposed to go back, because they said that Mombi cut his head off and put it on a plaque, but he didn't get his body back.
Well, he's just too maybe funny he, of a
maybe,
character.
Yeah, maybe it was because he said he was happy being a head.
Yeah, he's happy being a head.
All right, so this Mombi, I'm still saying that this is a bad name for a character. It just it doesn't have, like, the Wicked Witch. That's a good name. Mombi, not as good. That's just me.
But I like how they start out as Princess Mombi, and they're just like, Mombi. It's Mombi.
Yeah. Mombi. What is her... So who is she?
I'm not sure. She's some sort of witch, but I don't think she has any relation to the Wicked Witch of the West or East. Or obviously Glinda, because no, she is a witch because she has magical powers.
Which are what?
She makes potions, I would think.
She can switch her heads.
Yeah. I mean, okay, well, aside from switching the head,
end, you know, they say a witch with no powers is a miserable creature indeed.
Yeah.
Like, she's some sort of witch. I don't think there's any relation to the original two witches.
She's the Wicked Witch from the Deep South.
Yeah.
Well, they never touch base on the South, so I don't know.
You guys got anything on this? Because I'm like, I'm clueless. I mean, she was in
Well,
the
who's
movie.
The Gnome King? Who's the Gnome King? Where does he come from?
Well, I can gather. Well, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking that when the Gnome King showed up, because she seems to be in cahoots with the Gnome King.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they rolled into town and they're like a duo act, you know, like she physically bows to him in the movie, but like, is he allowing her to, you know, do her thing and run parts of Oz while he is overseeing everything? Or,
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what her motivation was.
Well, they say in the movie that, I mean, she must have been around when the wizard came, because she captured Ozma and it had her in the mirror for that long. Cause the dancing girls, they say at the end, like, Ozma grew up as Mombi's slave, her father was king before the wizard came. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is the dancing girl Ozma in the mirror?
Well,
Ozma's the one that's in the mirror.
Yeah,
Ozma's the one that's in the mirror.
Been seeing the whole time is
she's the little blonde girl,
the daughter of the King of Oz.
So when Mombi's like, you'll never escape, like that, the
little glare,
the blurry, is that Ozma?
That's Ozma.
Okay, that's Ozma.
Which I don't get. Yeah. Okay, I never read the books or anything, but then I started going into Oz the Great and Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a king being there before him. I don't think there was any kind of story of a king before he got there.
Yeah, I don't think, because Oz the Great and Powerful. Yeah, good question. Do they talk about, because it's a prequel. He gets there. Is there a ruler of Oz in that?
No.
Not based on the books, though, right? That's just.
It was the one witch, not the Wicked Witch of the West, because she hadn't turned into the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
But her sister.
Sister, yeah.
Sister, we got to bring Wicked into this then, too. Wicked, anybody?
Is that the Sci-Fi Channel one?
No, it's the Broadway play, Brian.
Is there a King of Oz? I don't know. All right, so this Ozma person, who I guess we have to talk about it. So, well, let's get to the gnome.
Well, then, I mean, she's a popular character because, I mean, they wrote a whole book about her. Yeah. Ozma of Oz.
Ozma of Oz. The rightful new ruler of Oz, I guess. So the Gnome King, from what we understand, which he's got like some really cool visual effects. This guy, he's got minions who can like become faces on rocks above ground, and then they kind of slip down into the earth and down into like the bedrock into the Gnome King's kingdom, where they
they're like
form animated faces on the walls. That was really cool.
Yeah,
they can do things with the hands and pulling. They form into hands and pull rocks apart and make passageways appear out of stone walls. The Gnome King himself, is like a face on the wall at one point, and then eventually, comes out of the rock wall and eventually becomes more human. So he's played by Nicole Williamson, and then recedes back into
he became more lifelike and then receded, don't you?
I'm not entirely clear on
because
that.
Because they were taking the like souls or something.
Yeah, because of every person that he eliminated, like he was turning them into ornaments. So every person that he turned into an ornament that remembered who Oz or what Oz was,
mm-hmm.
he becomes more human. And so that's what he's trying to do, is eliminate every person that remembers Oz, and then he'll be completely human. So every time one of those characters goes into his little ornament collection room and they guess wrong and they're turned into an ornament, he gets more human.
Lifelike.
Yeah, lifelike.
And so it's a claymation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Will Vinton, the guy who did the California Raisins.
So it's a progression thing.
Well, his.
So that's why he was so pissed when Dorothy guessed right.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, well, he. Yeah. So the guy, the Gnome King, which I was really hoping that he'd have a bunch of like the little red, you know, hooded or hatted gnomes running around, but that's not to be. But, you know, that's what you think, Gnome King. But he's basically a geological, moving geological formation. He destroys. Oh, he gets possession of the... So this is the chronology, right? After Dorothy leaves, the ruby slippers fall off of her feet. The Gnome King gets them. They have such power in them that he's able to destroy the Emerald City and take the Scarecrow, who was made at the end of The Wizard of Oz, the ruler of Oz, he's the King of Oz, takes him prisoner and is now holding him beneath the mountain.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And his ultimate goal, because you've already got that. And, of course, you know, what's her name again? I can't remember his name.
Mombi.
Mombi, right? Mombi bows to him at some point, so she defers to him. So he is, I guess, you know, the Gnome King. He's the king of all Oz stuff. What's his end goal here?
Well, I think, he said he wants to eliminate everyone that remembers Oz. So I think eventually, because Mombi remembers Oz, she probably doesn't know that, but his plan was to... Rule. Turn her into an ornament of some sort.
I thought he said that he was going to rule the world.
And he already basically de facto? He's just eliminating the remaining...
But I think he also wants to get out of the rock and become human so he can actually physically maybe walk around. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because, like, if you eliminate everyone from Oz, or say, well, it's only everyone that remembers what Oz was.
Yeah, so that would include Mombi.
Yeah.
That would include the Wheelers.
If he wasn't a physical person, then how the hell did he put the ruby slippers on to go and take over everything?
I think at that point...
He's got pebbles.
Because they show him in the ruby slippers, right?
Yeah.
At one
point. But he's becoming more human. He's already absorbed certain people.
I think he has... I don't know if he's... I mean, he has so many ornaments. He's probably attempted this before.
Well, that's the thing. Sorry.
That's fine. No, that was it.
Like, he's so salty because, you know, the Emerald City, emeralds, excuse me, emeralds are rocks. So he feels like he was cheated because they used all these emeralds in the Emerald City and all the diamonds and stuff. And he feels like they stole from him. So he's like, well, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal everything back and then some.
Yeah,
and he makes a good point because he asks Dorothy why she's there, and she says, "Well, I'm here to get back the Scarecrow, right? Or the ruby slippers?
Scarecrow.
I'm here to get back. You know, I'm here looking for the Scarecrow. You took him. You know, he's my friend. I want him back." He's like, "Oh, I took something of yours that didn't belong to you. And what happens then? Should I return it? Is that right?" And, you know, like, basically just placating her to get the answer that he wants, which is exactly, you know, the point that he makes to her as she's, like, falling down this long tunnel of just a sea of emeralds. He's like, and even at some point, you know, when he makes his point that, like, they took the rocks, the emeralds, to build the Emerald City, and they were mine, and I want them back. And she's like, "But you have so much." Like, that's not the point. The point is that you took them, or they took them. And, like, that to me is, I mean, it's a very adult idea in a kid's movie. You know? But, like, I was like, he's right. He's fucking right. They took him.
Only if, I guess, I mean, if you have, like, a living, you know, or conscious being there, which I suppose nobody originally was aware of in Oz when they did this, is that the mountain was alive, which I suppose we should just assume because, like, everything's alive in Oz pretty much.
Yeah. Well, except for TikTok.
But. Yeah. Good point, Brent.
Because he'll never be alive.
TikTok's not even alive.
That's just...
It just kept saying
that fucker's not even.
I have always valued my lifelessness.
Oh my god!
Which makes him immune to certain whatever magics that come later, because the climax of the movie is basically a test for Dorothy, where she has to go into a all of her friends one at a time have to go into a room where the Goblin King has collected all of these souvenirs or mementos or what do you call them, ornaments, where he's turned people into ornaments, and if
they get three guesses
and they set them in based on smartness, and Gump is stupid, so he goes in first.
And they have to guess who the which ornament the scarecrow is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think if the Gump knew exactly, like, even a little bit what he was doing, he would have been better off than Jack. Like, Jack's stupid.
Jack is stupid, yeah.
But he had the chicken in his head, so maybe she was giving him, trying to help him.
Yeah, there's a chicken in his head, and he didn't even know it.
What? I think he did know it.
Yeah, he was keeping that quiet? I don't know if Jack would keep that quiet.
No, I think they were doing that. I think they had Belina in there on purpose because everyone was always talking about the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why she...
Yeah. Throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
The chicken.
I think that's why, like, she gets on the mountain and Belina's like, oh, maybe I should hide somewhere. Jack, open up your top. I'm going to get in there.
It's chicken nerd.
Get in there.
Yeah. These people in Oz are all extremely obsessed about the presence of this chicken on their land.
Yeah.
But that's because
they know that.
You know, like, should I just go into this right now, or do you want to elaborate on how much they
I want to know if it was yell a payoff, about the chicken. If it paid off for you. I mean, because they do elaborate on it a lot.
Well, you know, to me personally, or like just, I mean,
to you personally.
What is I thought the deal that completely
that came, yeah, because I'm sitting there going, what's the deal with this chicken? What's the deal with this chicken? It's like, okay, so the chicken's going to have some kind of, you know.
It's like you're the only guy in the room that doesn't get the joke.
Yeah, you're like waiting, and then it's like at the end when the Goblin King's about to eat Jack Skellington, I was going to say, but Jack Pumpkinhead, this chicken finally lays an egg, and it falls out of the pumpkin head and into the throat of the Goblin King, and then we find out eggs are poison to gnomes. It's Gnome King.
Like the
and then
water.
It's like
to the Wicked Witch.
I mean, it's like, what, eggs are poison to gnomes?
Water rocks? Is poison to witches.
There you go. Nope. Boom.
It's the most arbitrary thing. It just came so out of the water. Blue. So I didn't think water. It paid off very well. I suppose you're right.
Right. I mean,
I'm melting. I melt. That comes out of nowhere.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose it's about the same thing.
Yeah.
Nope. All right then. You've convinced me. Even though it's ridiculous.
That's why she has a chicken. So they just think, like, she's just a powerful...
Yeah, they at least build it. They lay the hints, right? I mean, the foreshadowing is there. You don't know what
it's pretty thick.
The chicken's for.
The like, chicken.
She has a chicken here with her. Chicken. A chicken.
So
powerful,
I guess
Dorothy Gale has a chicken with her.
That raises she's the question, is the chicken poisonous or just the egg?
I don't know.
He said specifically the eggs.
Yeah.
The eggs.
Eggs are poisonous.
But again, if the chicken had an egg in her and he ate the chicken.
Well, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the amazing thing, too, because Belina wasn't laying eggs around the farm.
She was
An Oz.
She was constipated.
Oh, yeah.
And then an Oz, she got, the egg shared. Well, or the egg scared out of her.
Yeah, exactly. She's about to be eaten by a rock.
And I find it funny how you almost called him Jack Skellington. Because the whole time, you know, when I was watching it with my kids, they were like, you know, this is a ripoff of Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm really like, well, this came before Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, there's got to be some kind of tie with Jack the Pumpkin Head with Jack the Pumpkin King. Mm. And as I look, the storyboard artist for this movie was Henry Selick,
mm-hmm.
which is in turn the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if he was in the ear of Tim Burton and his creative crew and, you know, made Jack Skellington after this character from this movie.
Did Burton design Jack Skellington, or did Selleck? Or did The Nightmare Before Christmas, it's called Tim Burton's, where associate, you know, him with the creating the story and the characters. It's his
story and the characters.
But maybe it was a collaboration, you know, more
between the two
than just like, hey, you direct it and I'll design it.
And because then, also, how close is Jack from Return to Oz to the books, the illustrations from the books, you know, I mean.
Yeah, the idea of a pumpkin-headed creature, I think, goes back, like, a long ways. And I don't know if it's even specific to the Oz story. Yeah, but
just to look, you know, but how like he was tall and lanky, you know, had the bony arms and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked the just fingers. Like him.
And the facial, like the...
Yeah, the
I know
the
it's,
grin and everything.
Even, his smile was the same, too, and the big eyes.
It's very similar. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And the puppeteering on that character, I think we said, was done by Brian Henson. But, I mean, I was just sitting there, like, amazed at it. You know, I mean, that was, I mean, you know, TikTok had a personality. And, I mean, basically, you know, you're looking at him like, okay, this is somewhat, you know, the idea of R2-D2. You know, you've got the robot companion. And there's a guy in it, I guess, you know, like...
No, there is, because I watched the commentary on this, and Fruza Balk, she does all the commentary for it, like... But she talks about TikTok, and it's basically, like... I don't know how to describe it unless I just show you, like...
It doesn't work in radio.
I know! But, like, he's basically... He's basically standing with his legs completely straddled and then folded in half.
Oh, so his head's almost on the ground?
Yeah, but like it's, I mean, he's got, because you see his legs are so far apart, so you know he's got to be pretty straddled, like when he's walking. That's why TikTok walks so waddly. But like he's got this big belly barrel, and so this guy's just, he can't be tall. There's no way.
They had to work out.
He has to be a small, like a thin, like 5'5" man.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
But very he's muscular, like, though.
Well, he's balled up.
You can slap that costume around.
He's balled up in there. And then there's, I don't know where it is on TikTok, but he can see somehow. Like he has to see where he's going. Like
the monitor,
that module that's in the front of him. There's like a metal or something.
Yeah, but he's like completely like hunched over in there because, you know, his arms are completely puppeteered. Mm. Like,
yeah.
But he's hunched in there and he just does the legs because his head's even like the head of TikTok even like goes 360 degrees.
Yeah.
So.
See, this is the stuff that you don't get to talk about when you talk about, like, you know, modern, you know, like CG, you know? It's like, well, some guy, like, designed it in his computer and animated it.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, the kind of, like, how in the fuck did they? It's like, okay, they pulled this off.
Well, this
somehow.
Guy, he probably like, sees CG shit and he's like, fuck my life. Like,
my back.
It's the worst.
I've been hurting like, since
he can't, yeah, he can't even stand up straight anymore.
I was reading that, you know, how there was lack of movement, like in like the Scarecrow and Jack and that they were originally supposed to be all animatronic, but due to budget cuts, they cut it out and they just did different heads on them that had different emotions.
Oh, really? Even on, well, I think I kind of saw that on the pumpkin head. Mm-hmm. Because he had like his head would elongate, but there were sometimes he had different expressions, I suppose, instead of like a fully animatronic head. But I still thought like the articulation of his hands, I mean, his hands were very expressive, you know, like his whole, I mean, that was like really, really cool, you know, I thought.
They did that with the Scarecrow too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess that's what, you know. I know I'm sitting here, it sounds like I'm ragging on the movie, but I really do think that, like, if you divorce yourself from the logic of the story, I mean, you know, I mean, I watch movies now that are a lot more, you know, cerebral than, you know, and they're just kind of, you know, these kind of what do you call it? It's almost like lucid dreaming or something like that, you know, that the director went through. I think this, like, fits in with that kind of stuff. I mean, like, if you watch this, it is some kind of really weird, imaginative... but this almost sounds like a wrap-up, yeah. But, I mean, you know, nightmare version of The Wizard of Oz. Really quickly, though, to turn back again to poking holes in the thing. But my second biggest disappointment with this movie was the confrontation, the epic confrontation between Dorothy and the witch.
What about it?
Where was it?
There was none, really.
She wanted to take her head.
That was the most
and locked her in a tower, just like in the first one. Locked her in the tower.
That happened in like the beginning of Act Two or something like that, right? So Dorothy gets away from the witch.
It's at that point. Do you mean in reality?
No, in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the movie, the whole thing with the witch, like, should have stayed. Like, okay, she was one of the people that she meets along the way. And then she escapes, and then the Gnome King is the next person up on the journey. But the witch, like, follows her, because she's like, I have to have her head, I assume? She's looking for her head?
No.
I don't know what
her head is. She went to go warn the Gnome King.
Yeah, because the Gnome King says she'll never get past Mombi. So the Mombi didn't want Dorothy to get all the way to the Gnome King.
Yeah, but then, okay. But it's still, this seems like it's stretching it just to give that character more to do. So it's like the Mombi races to the Gnome King, and when she gets there, I mean, like, when you think about what she does for the plot, absolutely nothing. No. She doesn't...
Because she ends up in a cage.
Well, she impacts it in no way that could be solved by just, like, we killed Mombi and moved on, or we escaped from Mombi and got to the Gnome King.
Well, they all know who she is. Like, they all... They know who she is. Like,
yeah, but what does it do for the story? Showing up at the Gnome King's...
Does Mombi give her information about the Gnome King at some point?
Not after that whole, like, because it keeps cutting to her, like, riding through the tunnel, underneath the desert.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, the Gnome King is kind of like Mombi's boss. So, like, if something comes to you, do you really want someone to bypass you and go straight to your boss? Like, no. You would want to take care of it, nip it in the butt, and not want your boss to find out about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but her boss does find out about it before she gets there. So it's irrelevant that she is... I mean, she impacts that scene in no way. So what I guess I was expecting and didn't get was that, you know, Dorothy would fight the Gnome King, win, and then have to deal with Mombi for the big... fiery confrontation, right? The showdown between her and Mombi. And then it was like, when that didn't happen, I was like, what the fuck? What what is this character, like, doing in most of this movie?
Well, she's, you know? She's not
terrifying
really...
Terrifying children.
Yeah, yeah, aside from the effect of her terror, but I'm saying, dramatically, that is, like, just broke, right? Because when she gets to the Gnome King... Like, basically, they take all of her power away. I mean, I'm saying, like, the character's power, because, like, she was this scary witch. She shows up, and the Gnome King's like, I already know what you're coming to tell me. Kneel before me. He gets her down on the ground, and then he puts her in a cage. And, like, that's the end of her arc.
Yeah. Well, and I think they do that with a lot of characters. But I think that they do that with the Wheelers, too, because they start out, like, the first scariest characters you meet. And throughout it, they just, you know...
You forget about them.
Yeah. And by the end, they might as well be good guys. You know, like, they're at the celebration.
Well, to be fair, though, she did say she wanted Oz back the way that it was. And somehow, maybe they're, you know, resuming their former ways before the curse.
Maybe.
Well, Mombi, I mean, the Gnome King was the one that gave Mombi all those heads. So... Maybe he was afraid, or maybe she was afraid. Maybe it's like her drug addiction. She just likes to interchange heads. And she gets a rush from it. Like, he doesn't want him to take away her supply.
Yeah.
Who tells Dorothy that that you need to go to the Gnome King? If you're looking for the Scarecrow, you need to go to the Gnome King. Who is that person? Or
the Wheeler says it.
The Wheelers, okay.
Yeah. Well, Wheelers. No. the Wheeler says that Princess Mombi knows where the Scarecrow is.
So she has to get that information from somebody.
I can't remember if it was the couch. Because somebody, they fly over there to the Gnome King.
So it's maybe either the couch or Jack.
Yeah.
Jack,
it would make more sense if it was Jack. But
yeah.
I mean, for like if I was writing it, it would be Jack. I don't remember what we just watched. So.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Jack's the one that tells Dorothy, like, what happened to the Emerald City.
Right.
Like, I mean, kind of more in depth and then more about Mombi. I don't know, though. Not sure. But, like, yeah, the Wheeler only says to go to Mombi.
Which is a trap, because, you know, it's like, you go to Mombi.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it wraps up, the egg kills the Gnome King. Dorothy uses the slippers to go back to Oz and restore the Emerald City. And then she says, I wish I could be here and in Kansas at the same time. And then her mirror double appears, we assume, but it's this blonde girl that's been in this, that we know as Ozma. And then there's a extra, you know, the dancing girl who explains to us what the backstory was to the story. Ozma was the king of the, you know, it's just really weird how it's done. And I'm like, well, is this Dorothy grown up? No. Is this some alter ego of Dorothy? No. Then how is it she being here and in Oz at the same time? What the fuck? And then she, you know, clicks the Emerald slippers and goes,
because she can always look back and forth into Oz now. That's why she was able to look at her.
She wanted to be there.
She summoned her on her mirror when she was back in Kansas.
Okay. The facial expression.
That was like a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, he just had an aneurysm over here.
Yeah, and then Dorothy is found at the riverbank and taken back into the warm, friendly clutches of Aunt Em and Uncle Henry, who apparently rebuilt the house, the half-finished farmhouse, overnight.
I can say this for my wrap-up, or we can talk about it right now. The timeline of when Dorothy either gets electroshocked or passes out or whatever, or drowns or almost drowns. Like, the timeline between that, the time she spends in Oz, and when she wakes up, originally I assumed it was like the next morning she wakes up on the riverbank and she's back in Kansas. But then you go home and like the new house is built, which wasn't even close to being done.
Yeah.
So are we, I mean, because
they're farmhands.
There is a scene between the riverbank, or there's a transition between the riverbank and her upstairs in her bedroom in her new house.
Yeah, it could take place later.
Like, we don't know how much time has passed, do we? I mean, we're not sure.
It doesn't say.
Yeah, so it could be a number of
It could be a month or two.
Could be.
Because, I mean, Ozma said she'd come back and check on Dorothy from time to time.
Yeah.
So maybe it had been 2 months and it was time for her to just peer through the mirror.
She didn't get her electrical shot and she was in a state for a while. Then another storm comes through, burns down the house, and everyone escapes, and then boom, there we go.
Yeah, that's a stretch, but why not? Well, there's also the anomaly of like at the end we find out that, you know, this is just conveyed in the voiceover that, you know, what really happened is the hospital was struck by lightning, burned down. The doctor was killed because he went in to save his machine. And then we see a carriage ride by with the cops on it. And it's got bars on the windows. And the head nurse is in there. And you're like, why the fuck are they arresting her? Like, what for? I don't understand this. What's going on?
They have fucking people in the basement. She was locking people up in the basement.
She was locking all the brain dead people up.
Yeah, they didn't kind of really go into
that. But that's not legal in Canada?
Legally? Well, I don't think there was any law.
Well, I don't know what the ad said. So maybe.
Put her in the paddy wagon.
Possibly. I don't know what the ad said. But maybe they were false advertising. And then doing electroshock therapy.
And so they were false advertising, like, maybe, as in the original Wizard of Oz, the wizard was a false wizard.
He's cracking the conspiracy, he's cracking it. But possibly, because I think if the doctor hadn't have died, he would have been arrested too. Mm. That's the way I took it. It wouldn't have just been the nurse. It would have been both of them.
Okay. Well, you guys got it all figured out.
It's definitely a fraud.
With that. If you all took that out of it, then, then we'll go with that.
I just thought it was, and mine's a lot simpler, but it was the idea of matching the, because when you see her try and get away from the Gnome King, she like instantly, which I think is a really cool effect, she instantly gets locked in this cage. And then at the end, what the fuck? It's for kids. Just put her in a caged carriage. You know, so it's the same. Yeah,
that's
moment.
More what I it's, got out of it. It's yeah. like, what, you know, she's the villain. Put her, she's arrested.
Yeah.
Why though? She's it doesn't matter. She's a villain. Just put her.
She tried to save two children from a river. Yeah. Lock her up. But yeah. I mean, that depends on how you look at it.
Yeah. Well, we should
maybe she got arrested for child neglect. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but back awesome. In
for not being responsible.
1800s, late 1800s, was that a crime?
I don't know.
You got all sorts of weird shit that was legal back then, so I don't know.
I would never leave my child with that lady. Like, Auntie M's like, oh, I guess it's not her kid, it's her niece, but still, it's like, oh, I gotta get back before sundown, you know. I gotta get back, and then... to stay here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was all planned.
Stay here with the daughter of the devil. It'll be fine.
All right. So wrap ups.
Yes.
Wrap up sprint.
Oh, it's me.
Yes. Oh,
don't sip on that beer.
God bless it. this isn't my first time seeing this film. I've seen it since I was a kid. And it has terrified me since I was a child. So I'm just going to talk about the Wheelers for a little bit here, because I think that they're both genius and terrifying. And like any characters, I think it's probably specifically one of them that terrifies me. But any like that really gets to the core of me. But I think that the monkeys did it. The flying monkeys did it in the original too. So that says something. Two for two, 46 years apart. I mean, I didn't see him 46 years apart, but, you know, I mean, like, to have that type of character playing the same role is amazing. And I think the reason why it still scares me to this day is the psychology of it. Like, the idea that... You see the gurney, and I think, Nick, you were talking about it while we were watching the movie. You see the gurney rolling through the insane asylum in the beginning of the film, and Dorothy's strapped to it. You know, she can't get out. She's trapped.
And it's making the same squeaking noises as what the Wheelers
make. Yeah, the Wheels are making the squeaky sound. And then when Dorothy gets to the ruins of Oz... the Wheelers are closing in on her and the chicken, and like they're trapped again. You know, I mean, it's like the same.
Yeah,
idea.
That was a good point that you made. That was yeah. Well, I think no, you made it. No, that was a good one.
Because
it was. I mean, it was because you know she was trapped on the Wheeler bed. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But then they close her in that little alley.
Yeah,
she's trapped again.
Yeah,
with that sound.
Yeah,
just
like
constantly going.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's comparing the two scenes, which I think is genius for this movie. And I think that this movie does that a lot, you know. I mean, all the way through it. Like not only like mostly with the characters, but there's like a lot of the scenes, I think, like specifically that one. I can't think of one right now off the top of my head. But the idea that you are, because that reinforces the dream sequence, right? I mean, the idea that this is all a dream, which I think without the mirror, at the end with Ozma looking on and waving with the chicken, I think. Oh, well, the chicken didn't come back. Like, did we see the fucking chicken on that farm? No.
No, she didn't come back. She stayed in Oz.
Okay. So Oz is real.
Yeah, definitive. But she said in the beginning of the movie, she goes, if you don't lay eggs, Aunt Em's going to get rid of you.
Oh, holy shit, Nick. You are blowing this shit out of the water. That's like the fourth time he's blown my mind tonight. Okay. So...
Wow. Man, sorry.
So it can still... No, that's good. Because it can still be a dream. Because I think that definitively... Or not... No, not definitively. Like, ambiguously, the first one you can say is either a dream or it's an actual place. And The Wizard of Oz, either that's a that's a world that Dorothy went to, or it was all out in her dream. And she wakes up and she comes to... The first one definitely leans more towards the idea that it's a dream. This one is a little bit more ambiguous as to where it's going, right? I mean, like, I think they could have done a better job as to, like, not giving you quite an answer. But, like, tonight, Nick is just like...
I think it's this root beer, man.
He's blowing all of that out of the water. But, yeah, like, I started this about the Wheelers. And okay, so yeah, so the Wheelers are, like, I guess they're terrifying in the idea of, like, as an adult being, like, trapped and being electroshocked, maybe, or just being gurneyed down this really creepy hallway. I mean, it's a scary movie, even to this day. And, like, when you see the headless witch stand up, I appreciate that that is one of the most terrifying moments of cinema history. And seeing the, you know, the all the headless witch heads, all the heads within the cabinet staring as the bodies walking, the headless bodies walking through, and Dorothy's trying to run. And the idea that this child is in this peril from this monster, you know, like, I think I said during the film, like, I would have caved my head in on the fireplace if that witch was chasing me. Because you can hear her say, Dorothy!
That voice.
Yeah. Like, as she's coming up the steps, I'd be like, fuck it, you guys just go. I can't do it.
She's just talking so low. Dorothy, girl.
Dorothy,
yeah, girl. It is. It's as slow as that, which is crazy.
Yeah. They find her in, like, the medicine cabinet, and she's like, rawr. Like, it's scary shit. from a technical standpoint, I think it's also an achievement because, like, Mombi's castle or whatever you want to call it is all made of glass. Like, since Scarface, I haven't seen a more frustrating room to have to shoot in.
Oh, the mirrors.
All the mirrors. Yeah, sorry, mirrors. They're like, there's four corners and
you gotta see the Hamlet that ceiling. Kenneth Branagh did.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, big ass mirror.
Yeah.
Palace.
Yeah. It's like, where, like, maybe the lights are practical, but where do you put the camera that can't be seen? You know, I mean, you have four walls and a ceiling and a floor, and they're all mirrors.
Well, I know Branagh did it by having the walls, they had the mirrors on the walls, they would move.
Like, oh,
you couldn't
really
tell because when the camera was moving, the mirrors were moving with them.
Holy shit. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. By move, I'm saying, you know, they would turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they would, like, rotate or yeah. shift.
Yeah, to always be facing the camera.
Mm-hmm. But I think that is, yeah, I mean, I think that's an achievement in film. And if you see this movie, especially at the end, oh, well, I don't know. I mean, even when the first time they go to Mombi's castle or whatever you want to call it, it's like a tower. But, like, I think that, like, in order to pull that off is brilliant, and it definitely took some planning. And then, obviously, the puppeteering is amazing, and I wish they would do more of it today. I think we all do, being of the same generational area. And then also, I want to mention the rocks. I mean, the animation, the claymation. Claymation is, like... It blows my mind. Like, I can't imagine the amount of time that goes into doing that.
Mm.
Like, that's just, it's incredible. Like, Like, by the end of this film, the amount of claymation that they put into it is just, it's astounding. And I think it still holds up. I mean, a lot of that stuff, I think, still holds up today. More so than, you know, maybe some of, like, the opticals, like the head. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a big deal, you know. And at the time, it was probably blew the moviegoer's mind, but the idea of taking a fully interactive human head acting, the actress is acting, but the head is severed, and it's a real body at the same time, you know, and doing it. But it's dated now, but it's still, it's not a deal breaker for this film. I think that, like, overall, I think that this film succeeds on all levels. And, like, I'm somebody that can watch this movie, like, I could watch it all the time. I don't really get sick of it. It's kind of like the Never Ending Story in that way. I think I've seen this more than the Never Ending Story, but it's from my childhood, and it's something that I cherish it, I guess. Nostalgia. I have nostalgia for it. But I think it still holds up, and I would highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it, that's it. Watch it. See it.
All right.
Nick.
All right, so you gave a pass to it, huh? All right. all right. This is my, sixth podcast with you guys, and I've given a pass on 5 out of 5. I think I even gave a pass on Sharknado.
Unbelievable. Yeah. From the man who's watched all three.
Right. You brought up a good point that the movie's dated. And, like I said, I hadn't seen it for quite a while, and I had seen it when I was a kid. And I don't know if I was just not into those kind of movies back then. I don't know. I can't wrap my head around how they're calling this like a sequel to MGM's Wizard of Oz.
It's because it's based on the books.
Yeah, I know that, but the same thing when I watched, I've only seen it once since it came out, is the new Oz movie too, because I can't see that as being part of that MGM world. Even watching with my kids are, we're a big, MGM Wizard of Oz, family. My wife collects all the dolls and everything, so we watch the movie like constantly. And I couldn't consider this a sequel to that. If Disney was gonna do it right, they should have started fresh, from one on, not say this was the sequel to that by going out and buying the rights to the Ruby Red Slippers to keep that, in tow.
So how do you feel about Star Wars?
Me?
Not to get into a whole thing, but the idea that...
You're going to get into a whole thing.
That, just the idea that, I guess that Disney also bought the rights to Star Wars, and now they're going to add... correct me if I'm wrong, but they're just building on the Star Wars lore already, right?
They're not making a sequel to, like... It'd be like Disney going, like, we're going to make a sequel to Dracula. Universal owns Dracula, so we got to change it all around.
Oh, so you got to change it all around.
To do Dracula 2.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Even with them having Star Wars, they're bringing back the original characters that it's not like this where they bring in a new, of course, Judy Garland. You can't bring Judy Garland in for the sequel 46 years later, but at least kind of keep.
Could have gotten Liza Minnelli though.
Got a girl that would kind of be around that, look the same age. If you're calling this a sequel and you're making Dorothy look 10 years younger than what she was in the original,
Well, how old was she supposed to be in the books?
I think she was closer to this.
There you go. That's why.
She's a little girl in all the illustrations.
Well, then that's what I say. Disney should have started fresh as a total reboot for it. Then trying to, you know, like I said, buy the rights for the Ruby Red Slippers.
Well, I think they did it for the sheer fact that because, like you said this, like the first movie was such a phenomenon. If they would have done silver slippers, you would have lost everyone. No. Everyone would have been like, what the fuck?
That was a deal breaker, apparently.
They're not silver. They're ruby red. No, they're actually silver.
Or not.
I mean, you said that, so I think that's why they did it.
Yeah, but in the end, I've only seen it probably a couple times in my lifetime, and I wouldn't sit down and watch it again. And I would suggest not to see it if you're a fan of the original MGM one.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I think this movie has a lot of problems that I think makes it fail as a narrative movie. I think, you know, I was pointing all those out during the podcast. I think those kind of things hold me back from recommending it as like, you know, hey, you should see this movie because it's a good narrative story. However, this movie's got like, you know, I mean, I like movies like Eraserhead. I like movies like Lost Highway. I like movies like Lords of Salem. I like movies like Only God Forgives and stuff like this. So I like movies that are just a display of kind of a nightmare imagination that's fueled by some kind of like really weird, dark, primal, you know, these artists like making these things and these shapes and they're animating them and, you know, bringing them to life with these animatronics. In some ways, I mean, you look at the era and you had Legend, you know, Dark Crystal. We said Labyrinth. I'm trying to think. There's probably other ones. The Storyteller on TV. The Neverending Story. You know, Krull, for some reason, I was thinking of. I'm like, Krull's a fantasy world where, you know, there's all sorts of weird shit. Like, in the 80s, you know, it was just like we built this thing from the ground up because like Star Wars did, right? We're trying to do the new Star Wars. So we got to create an entire world and just populate it full of all like, and half of them will be, you know, puppet guys and half of them will be living actors and they'll all be interacting and they got to go defeat the evil, you know, emperor at some point. It's the, you know, the Goblin King is the guy who's going to rule, you know, it's Hitler or something, right? It's Sauron, right? If you go, you know. So on that level, though, I think that this movie, you know, you got to check it out because it's, yeah, to take, I mean, just what it's doing, the audaciousness of taking, you know, the Wizard of Oz, right? This thing that everybody has seen and remembers from their childhood. And to make this like, it's like, well, you're going to make a sequel to Wizard of Oz. It's going to be all light and fluffy and there's going to be munchkins and all that. And they're like, no, we're going to try and like, Dorothy's going to be in an insane asylum and she gets shock treatment. And there's going to be this woman who fucking takes her goddamn head off and switches it with all these screaming heads and glass cases. And like, I saw this movie probably in like, you know, somewhere around 85. And, you know, tonight I'm like, I barely remember anything about this, right? It's been 30 years since I've seen it. But I remember there's a scene where there's a character, it's this woman who takes her fucking head off and there's like a bunch of heads in glass cases in a hallway. Like, that's the thing I remember from this movie.
It's the scene everyone remembers from this
movie. Yeah, because it's nightmare fuel. I mean, there's so much of this movie I think is nightmare fuel. That appeals to me, and just kind of the you know, the technical craft involved in pulling it off. I mean, I should say it's not better than I expected because I mean you're probably working with the biggest people in the industry at this point. You know,
this
I mean?
Is like, Disney's original Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah,
like it is the original Nightmare.
Well, that's the other thing too. Like Disney, and yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of this because Disney at one point made these live action movies that were dark. I mean, the Black Hole, you know, is one that was like the Star Wars. You know, they were trying to do Star Wars. They did Something Wicked This Way Comes, right? The Ray Bradbury story. That's pretty fucking dark. That's from Disney. They did Tron. I'm not saying that's dark, but I mean, like they were doing these live action fantasy films, you know, in addition to their animated stuff, like throughout the 80s and using all these new special effects and stuff. And this, you know, obviously comes out of the people who made from the studio that brought you Something Wicked This Way comes Return to Us, you know, yeah. And it's just like, and then of course the black, was it the Black Cauldron?
Yeah. Like
the name of the, the dark, you know, animated stuff that they did. But, I think I would say, check it out if you can, you know, I'm checking all of the stuff that I have a problem with after the fact that it's a kid's movie, right? So kid's movie logic, you can, all that stuff passes, but it works on nightmare logic. It's just a fucking...
I would even argue that a lot of the animated stuff that Disney does, especially from like the 80s and 90s, I'm thinking of the villains in The Little Mermaid or The Lion King, or, you know, they have scenes that are like sheer terror. Like the whole film overall isn't, but like there are scenes that are scary.
Darkness had teeth back in the day. It seems to be we're shaving that off now. You don't want anything like, you know, anything that could traumatize a kid. But, you know, this is the stuff that, I mean, in 85, I would have been 11 years old. So this was my, you know, this is the stuff that I grew up with. And I'm like, it's like they treated us like we, you know. They treated us like we could handle more stuff. Does that prepare you better for the real world? I don't know. You know, it's like there's good and there's bad. And, there, you know, like bad things happen to good people. Sometimes you get an electric shock therapy. Sometimes you get locked away in an insane asylum. Sometimes you lose
sometimes
your mind.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Can't sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I think I would say, you know, with reservations, check it out.
Oh, and by the way, you don't even have to spend money on it. It's on YouTube if you want to watch it.
Because you probably can't find it any other way. Disney's like, we're really proud of this one. It should be the craziness.
All right. Well, this was my pick, and I like this movie a lot. I watched it growing up as a kid, and as terminology from Brent, I am a purist and I do love The Wizard of Oz. I really do. But to see this, and I mean, it did bother me that all the characters and Dorothy being, you know, so much younger, all the differences in the film did bother me, but it's so twisted. Like, how can you not love it? Like, I mean, I don't even like scary movies, but I just remember watching this movie and I loved it so much. And my biggest thing was, because when I got older watching The Wizard of Oz, I was able to pick out like, oh, the Scarecrow is that farmhand, and you know, like, because, you know, I watched it growing up as really little, and then it came to me. And so like when I watched this movie, I'm like, oh, and I would pick up on the same thing. So it was almost like a mystery solving thing. So I really enjoyed it. It doesn't follow the original movie. So like Colin said, like if you're looking for a sequel, or no, it was Nick. If like Nick said, if you're looking for a sequel to The Wizard of Oz, nah, I wouldn't recommend this, but I would recommend it because it apparently follows the storyline of the books more, and it's just so twisted and so crazy, and you have to appreciate all the 80s, like the new age, like then it was new age puppeteering and animatronics. You have to appreciate it because it was such a big deal in the mid 80s. So, and you know, if you want to see Firouza Balk before she got really fucked up, when she was just really precious, and you know, you should see that because I don't know where else you're going to see it. I really don't. So
she wasn't in The Journey of Natty Gann, was she?
I don't know.
Was somebody else? That was maybe Meredith Salinger. Never mind, I'm retracting.
And I liked how, in a couple parts, she tried to sound like Judy Garland, like that accent, like when she looked at the broken yellow brick road, you could tell that she tried to use that Judy Garland, like that wispy, oh, but.
Or, and how about when she when they're falling from Gump and she's like, or the Gump's like, sorry, I fell apart. And she's like,
it's all right. Can't be helped now. Yes. Like, no big deal. Yeah, I'm just tumbling down. Yeah. I'm basically skydiving without
it's
a parachute.
It's a Disney movie. You have to see the positive because it's so dark otherwise. Yeah. So that's a recommendation.
Oh, yes. I recommend it. I do. I mean, and I mean, apparently this movie can be found on YouTube.
Yep, for free.
I don't think that was the case a few
Disney
years ago.
Movie for free on YouTube.
I do not think it was the case a few years ago, but I remember watching this movie. I loved it. I loved, the mommy scene didn't scare me as much, but I love scaring my friends with it. So, yes, I would recommend it. So.
All right. Well, that's the Return to Oz. On the Saturday Night Freak Show. If you want to get a hold of us, Saturday Night Freak Show at, God damn it. I keep on doing that. It's not. It's facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can write something on there, tell us how we're doing, or talk to us about this or other episodes or even upcoming stuff, and we'll probably read your comments on air. Next week, we're continuing the history of time travel, according to Brent, and we are watching.
Next week, we will be discussing whether or whether or not Groundhog Day is a time travel movie.
And it's next week when Sean Tyler will be joining us.
Sean knows.
On the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark. Have you seen Return to Oz?
She's watching it right now.
Yeah.